Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back. We're talking about Europe and what has happened to it in 2015 and what is likely to come in the momentous year ahead with Soren Kern. He is a senior fellow with the Gatestone Institute, a man who's writing there at gatestoneinstitute.org is really required reading. And we've been graced in the previous months with Soren's presence here. We're very pleased to have him for a full hour, this segment concluding that very important conversation. And Soren, I wanted to just pick up on the thought that you were discussing a moment ago, and that is Europe has essentially acquiesced to a shakedown by Turkey on the one hand, and to the threat of violence in no-go zones and parallel societies and among the now burgeoning Muslim populations, including by agreeing to restrictions on freedom of speech. And I want to just sort of allow you to finish that thought, but also draw you to what are the insights, what are the lessons that the United States should be learning from what has been happening to Europe in the past year?
Yeah, that's a very good question. It's important to realize that most European countries do not have First Amendment rights. So there are less protections on free speech in Europe than there are in the United States. There is a real fear of criticism of Islam. This is being driven by pressure from the mosques, from Muslim lobbying groups, from the OIC, the Organization of Islamic Cooperation. And again, this is all being driven by fear. There's a real fear that if there is criticism, if there's scrutiny of Islam, if there's scrutiny of Muslim migration into European countries, that this will create dissatisfaction, that this will create unrest among the migrant minorities in the European countries. I think the thing that about Islam really is that there's a real fear in European countries and to a certain extent in Western countries, the United States and Canada as well, of the consequences of going too far, of provoking, I guess. And what this essentially is creating sort of are self-restrictions on free speech. And those people who are not willing to restrict their criticism are essentially compelled to do so through sort of strategic lawsuits as a way to silence really critics of all of these policies, of all of these things that we're talking about.
Yeah. Soren, you mentioned earlier the brilliance of the Turkish stratagem in sort of jujitsuing migration flows into a new set of accommodations by Europe. I wonder if what we're seeing here isn't an equally brilliant stratagem by the Muslim Brotherhood, an outfit that is operating throughout Europe, as you know, widely perceived, at least until now, as a nonviolent alternative to the violent jihadists, but basically a group that is exploiting this threat of violence, if by others, to demand concessions and accommodations. I'd like to ask you about the report that was issued by the British government just in the past 10 days about the Muslim Brotherhood and what insights it should have for us as well about this quite insidious civilization jihadist force in our own country.
Yes, this Muslim Brotherhood report has been in the making for many years. It's commissioned by the British government to sort of help the government understand the activities of the Muslim Brotherhood in the UK. The report found that the Muslim Brotherhood was not directly responsible or involved in terrorist attacks in the UK. But it also found that the Muslim Brotherhood is involved in financing and in promoting a lot of the main Muslim groups in the UK. And I think that the main thrust of the report is essentially that the Muslim Brotherhood in the UK operates secretly. There's no transparency, so the government really cannot understand the true extent of the activities of that organization in the UK. After that report was released, Prime Minister David Cameron made some comments on that that were actually much harsher than the conclusions of the report itself. And he left no doubt that the British government was going to be monitoring the Muslim Brotherhood's activities on a much more heavy scale in the future.
And properly so. In the closing couple of minutes we have with you, Søren Kern of the Gatestone Institute, let me just ask you to sort of summarize this really grim picture that you've painted for us of what's happening in Europe, what has developed there, particularly in 2015, with a million additional, mostly Muslims, mostly young men, migrating to the parallel societies that already operate there, much of them under the influence, it seems, of Salafists, as you call them, Muslim Brotherhood organizations as well. For our own country, quickly, what would you say about the advisability of taking in large numbers of unvettable individuals from some of these same populations into this country?
Well, I think that Europe is ahead of the United States by a generation, by maybe 20 years. And we can look to Europe to see what will happen in the United States if the United States does not learn from the mistakes that the Europeans are making. I think really the biggest issue with immigration is the issue of integration, is that migrants from wherever they come from, if they come to the United States, they should be expected to learn the language, and they should be expected to integrate into the culture, to assimilate, and to become a productive part of American society. That's the way immigration has always worked in the United States. But it seems like with the immigration from particularly from the Muslim countries in Europe, this is a completely new form of immigration. It's an immigration where migrants come, but they don't integrate into the host country. And this really is the issue, I think, of migration from here on out.
Let me ask you a last, final, and very important question, Søren Kern. Given what you've said about the Muslim Brotherhood, given the insights of this report by the British government, if you were counseling the United States government, what would you say about the continued reliance it has placed in 2015 and now for some years, actually, before all of this, on Brotherhood-associated individuals as advisors, as in some cases employees of the government, with responsibility for at least influencing the kinds of policies towards migrants, towards mosques, towards Muslim Brotherhood operations, towards the Islamic State, and so on?
Yes, I think the problem with Islam as a phenomenon, as a system, essentially, that it's more than just a religious system. It's a political system and a legal system that is shrouded in religion. And I think that a lot of
this
the
would
Muslim
be Sharia, of course.
Of course. And so a lot of the advisors, the people in the Muslim Brotherhood, really have dual loyalties. They have loyalties to the religious system of Islam, but also to the political ends. And the whole idea of Islam is essentially submission, submission to the will of Allah. And you cannot take the religious part and separate it from the political or the legal, the Sharia part. It's all one system. It's inimical to the U.S. Constitution and to freedom of speech and a lot of the rights that we have. And I think that there's I don't know if it's a failure, but a refusal to recognize this reality of the phenomenon of Islam. That is a dual system, and there are ulterior motives in mind.
Indeed. And in part, I think that failure, it has to be said, is at least shaped or influenced by the aforementioned reliance we're placing on Muslim Brotherhood operatives to tell us what we can think and know and do and say and with whom we can meet and so on as a government and to varying degrees in other civil society institutions as well. Søren Kern, we are at the end of a long hour. I appreciate enormously the work that you do at the Gatestone Institute and the chance that we've had to visit, I think, now twice this year. I hope we'll talk often in 2016. You are a national treasure, and you're reporting on what is happening in other parts of the free world as we try to assess what I call the war for the free world is incalculably important and deeply appreciated. Thank you so much for your time today. I hope that the rest of you will join us again for more conversation tomorrow. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.